Welcome. Yeah, I'm sitting here in unceded Ohlone territory, otherwise known as Oakland, California, and we're getting rained on. And you might be able to hear it. My office is such that I'm in a lower room at my mom's house, and I keep the door open. You'll see it right here. And so you'll hear the rain throughout my talk and meditation, and I hope that that's okay with you. It's just been so long since we've had rain. Oh, we had it last week. But just in general sense that I'm just enjoying hearing it and using my ears. So welcome. We're going to have a talk in a little bit, but first we're going to start off with a meditation. So we'll do 30 minute practice, silent practice. And the invitation is there's multiple postures you could be in. You could sit in a chair like I'm doing with my feet on the floor. You could certainly sit on a cushion on the floor with your feet crossed and be more connected to the ground down there. Standing, always an option, even in the middle of this meditation. Should you feel you're tired or you need to stand, please feel free. And then laying down is also another posture that works well for people. One thing I say if you're laying down is to keep your arm at a 90 degree angle so that it falls over, because I have a tendency to fall asleep when I'm laying down. So just an extra benefit there. So choosing your position, I'm going to be sitting. I'm also going to be focusing on my breath as my anchor. But again, inviting you to use other anchors. We use the body because that's in the present moment. Your body's not going anywhere from the present moment. We're right here. We haven't perfected time travel. So you'll be right here in the moment. So we use our breath, or we can use body sensations with temperature being what it is. I feel cold on my skin, or when I put my hands on my lap, I can feel one of them's warmer. Right? You can use your body to be your anchor. And the last one I invite is sounds. Using with our eyes closed, the sound of the rain, sound of other things that come up in your space, they can be your anchor as well. So choosing your position, choosing your anchor. Again, I'm sitting and I'm using the breath. These first few moments, just really feeling yourself grounding to this planet below us. Amazing miracle of this planet. Yeah, they got these newfangled telescopes looking all over, and this planet is pretty unique. So just gratitude towards the gravity and the water and the air and the fire and the earth that is the elements of this globe beneath us. Not knowing the levels of experience in here, I'll be talking a little bit in the beginning, and then I'll leave some spaces of silence for us to work individually. Grounding in the breath, I notice that when I breathe in, my belly expands, the air is cooler coming in. When I breathe out, the belly deflates and the air is warmer going out. And I can use those body sensations to keep my mind focused on this breath of mine. I can also use my mind to say words like breathing in and breathing out, or even counting my breaths. All ways to keep the mind focused. Breathing in, breathing out. knowing that our minds were built to be busy. They were built to warn us and to keep pain from happening and to watch and prepare. So every little space or thought can lead us into a story or a train. Thinking, a bird walking, if you will. And mindfulness is when you recognize that you're in the story and you come back to the anchor of the breath, the body, sounds. Just knowing that our mind's gonna want to try something, and we just note it and return to this anchor that is the body in the present moment. Breathing in, breathing out. And just for this 30 minutes, just for this time together, let's put the critical mind up on the shelf. Let's put away the judging mind, the critic, the inner critic. And instead, the invitation is to bring forth more like a childlike wonder, a gaze of just gentleness, maybe even amazement of where our mind goes, and just returning it to the breath like a simple game, returning for a fresh start, fresh breath, fresh moment, again and again. This is the practice. Sound of the rain falling outside, or of a car going by, some sounds in our rooms that happen. Just noting them and allowing and returning to your anchor. Breathing in, breathing out. Returning to the breath, fresh start. Giving yourself compassion for an active brain. Being gentle and kind with yourself. Just noting where you go and returning to the breath, feeling the breath, anchoring in the breath. With a gentleness, a kindness, a gentle playfulness of, oops, there I went again. There goes my mind. Acknowledging where you went, and returning gently to your body and the breath, body sensations, sounds. Just returning. How are you talking to yourself? Is the critic present? Can we send some loving kindness? It's all right. Your practice is the way your practice needs to be. Noting what you're working on and returning to the breath, your body, sounds. Maybe the breath is hard for you. Hard to hold on to or to ride like a surfboard. Maybe you need to switch to sounds. The rain falling outside for me. opening up your mind and listening to the sounds. My voice, sounds in your room, noting when you get caught in a story or thought train or bird walk, and returning. That's the invitation. Returning to your anchor. And for the next 5 minutes, I'm not going to say anything and leave you to your practice. It's all right. If it gets to be too much, open your eyes. Change your body. But you got this. 5 minutes of silent practice. 5 minutes. Where did you go? No blame, no shame. Maybe you kept on it. You're on that anchor that whole time. It's all good. Each individually going at our own pace. The invitation is to continue using a lens of loving kindness and watching the process gently. Holding on to your anchor. Not clinging and holding on strong, but with a gentleness. Touch. Feeling the breath start and fill and peak, then slowly come out. And there's a little pause. And the breath comes in again. Really bringing your attention towards your anchor. Breathing in, breathing out. Cool air coming in, warm air going out. Gently noting the mind wanders into a story, a path of thought or a bird walk of ideas. Noting what comes up, returning to your anchor, the breath. Breathing in, breathing out. looking through the lens of loving kindness, gentleness, compassion to ourselves. Checking in, sweetheart. Being gentle. And returning to our anchor in this gentle body in a loving way. We're laying down new track in our brains. Energy goes where attention, energy flows where attention goes. We retrain our mind to check in with the body before reacting. Returning to the breath before jumping into a story. Connecting to the present moment as exampled by these bodies. Breathing in, breathing out. As we come to the last couple of minutes of this practice together, the invitation is to do a gratitude scan of this body. Starting at the feet connected to the floor, to this earth. Scanning our feet and sending some gratitude, some thankfulness. Thank you, feet. Sliding up the ankle, allowing us to walk and to stand. Gratitude for the ankles, lower legs, calves, our knees, our thighs. Grateful for these legs. Whatever abilities they have and don't have to get us around. Gratitude for our buttocks and our sexual organs and our pelvis. Scanning up to the stomach, intestines, kidneys, whole of the spinal column. Gratitude to our shoulders, arms, hands. Back up to the chest, the heart and the lungs, the neck and the throat, the jaw, your head. Ears, eyes, nose, mouth, brain and all its beauty, and our scalp, landing just above our head. Gratitude and thankfulness to this body, in this present moment. Just sending out some loving kindness to each and every one of you, all our cared ones, and the people that surround us that we don't know so well, even our difficult people, Sending some love, some kindness. Expanding to animals and creatures on this planet. To the elements themselves of fire and water and air and earth. Deep gratitude as I end this practice by ringing a bell. Welcome back. Nice to see you. Just letting that settle. I'm in a rainstorm. I don't know if you can hear it through my speakers, but the rain's coming down. Just happy to be dry and to be here with you. Today I'm going to talk about, I titled it Dharma by the threes and fives. So many lists in this practice. And I'm going to share with you two of mine that I really enjoy and that have changed the way I practice. So that's where we're going today. So the first thing that I want to share with you is a card. And this is something that an artist friend of mine put together around three phrases. Here, I'll show you first. And these are I call them the three knots, but they're called a different thing. I call them the three knots because it says not permanent, not perfect, and not personal. And so this card lives in my car. This card lives in my office. I'm looking at it here. It also has a place on my computer as one of my screen sharing pictures. And I just wanted to talk about the three knots for a second. So three knots. Also known as three marks of existence in Buddhism. And so first, before I get into it, I also want to give honor to a teacher, Ruth King. Ruth King has taught at Spirit Rock, an African-American teacher. She has a couple of books, and she's the one that took what the Buddha said, and I heard it in these three knots, not permanent, not perfect, not personal. And in Buddhism, and what the Buddha said, or the Buddha taught, that all phenomena, including thoughts, emotions, and experiences, are marked by these three characteristics, or the three marks of existence: impermanence, anicca, suffering or dissatisfaction, dukkha, and not-self, anatta. These three marks apply to all conditioned things, everything except for nirvana. And according to the Buddha, fully understanding and appreciating these three marks of existence is essential to realizing enlightenment. So anicca, the not permanent, boy, has that really helped me out lately, to just realize that things are not permanent. Be that a job. I was a retreat manager at Spirit Rock, doing it strong, loved it, was working for Donna, and COVID came. And whoop, closed the center down and released me into this life of I got a kick in the butt to move towards teaching and towards sharing the Dharma, and not just holding the space. So impermanence happens in just feelings and just sensations that come and go, or pains in my knee, or that everything changes. That's what the Buddha taught, that all things are impermanent. They rise and they pass away. It's a chant that we sing. So it may seem obvious, but most of the time we relate to things as if their existence were permanent. So when we lose things we think we can't live without, or receive bad news that we think will ruin our lives, we experience a great deal of stress. Nothing is permanent, including our lives, right? We're all moving towards that big impermanence. So not permanent, not perfect. Imperfection is also, I think, where a lot of our suffering comes from. It's when we're hoping for that perfect meditation, or that perfect relationship, or that perfect job, or that perfect slice of pizza. That we can get stuck. When accepting what's a very good slice of pizza, maybe it's not the best one, but it's satisfying, warming, healthy, has a cauliflower crust, or there's if we're looking for the perfection, that's where the clinging kind of comes into, I think, and that's where suffering happens, and that's definitely where this third one, right? That dukkha, or suffering, or dissatisfaction, is among the most misunderstood ideas in Buddhism. Life is dukkha, the Buddha said, but he didn't mean that all unhappiness, that it is all unhappiness and disappointment. Rather, he meant that ultimately it cannot satisfy. Even when things do satisfy, a pleasant time with friends, a wonderful meal, a new car, the satisfaction doesn't last, because all things are impermanent. So, and all things are not perfect. So not personal. The third one, it applies to the not self. And for me, it's been really ideal. And just as I come into things that trigger me, that people say or do, sometimes realizing that it's not personal really allows me to be free of it and not fall into the stories that I'll create to make it personal. I'm reading from another article, so let me tell you about not personal. Anatta, not self, non-essentiality, or egolessness. It's even more difficult to grasp. The Buddha taught that there is no unchanging, permanently existing self that inhabits our bodies. In other words, we do not have a fixed, absolute identity. The experience of I continuing through life as a separate, singular being is an illusion, he said. What we call the self is a construct of physical, mental, and sensory processes that are independent, interdependent, and consistently in flux. It is the illusion of a separate, permanent self that chains us to suffering and dissatisfaction. We put most of our energy into protecting the self, trying to gratify it, or clinging to impermanent things we think will enhance it. But belief in a separate, permanent self leads to the craving that, according to the Four Noble Truths, is the source of our suffering. So I'm going to share it one more time. Do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. Not permanent, not perfect, not personal. Just having those three phrases around can bring ease to whatever is going on. And just reflecting on it. So I'm going to stop there and open for questions on these three marks of existence. Zoom land, the three knots, and I'm going to move into my five that I was going to share with you as well. And so these are the three were not permanent, not perfect, not personal. And then the five that I'm moving into is just to help you, or just to look at ways that might block you in your meditation. And these are called the five hindrances. And so I'll be sharing with you a slide deck that I put together, and just to talk about it, because I don't know always in these circles if we talk about what blocks meditation, what could, and ways that you can move around those and work with them. I was recently at a 10-day concentration retreat at Spirit Rock, but it's all on samadhi, on concentrating, which is something else that I could talk about a different day. But concentration, they started it off, the teachers, with going through a loving kindness mind of coming to your meditation with a gentleness, which I have included in all my meditation since, because it just helps. And instead of having that striving, like, I'm going to make it, I'm going to do this meditation a certain way, of having more of a loving gentleness of seeing what arises and coming back to your anchor. The other thing that was part of concentration was that the hindrances were not present when you were doing concentration retreat. And so then we would look at each hindrance and then see if they were present or not present. So what I've done is I've adapted a procedure that Amana Brimbury Johnson, I believe is her name, was my teacher, showed me during this concentration retreat when I got triggered and was in this space of anger, which I'm not used to working in, and anger and aversion is one of the hindrances. So I just was going to share with you this short slideshow, and then we'll talk afterwards. So okay, so this is the hindrances on the hand. It's a somatic way of remembering the hindrances, so when you're sitting in or standing in meditation, that you can go through them. And it's the five common obstacles in meditation. And I did it in a way so that you could print out these slides later, and this is part of your resource paper that I'm leaving from this talk. So the five basic challenges to meditation are desire. I'm going to call that yes, for pleasurable sensory experience. So you're desiring something and it takes you off the cushion. You know, desiring an ice cream cone, or I'm desiring not being here. You're desiring something pleasurable. That's the first hindrance. Second one is aversion, right? It's resistance, ill will. You're not feeling right about something, or there's something coming up in you that you don't want to deal with. The third challenge to meditation could be sleepiness or dullness. Especially on retreat, I found the first couple of days, boy, that bell rings, and I'm like doing the Rocky meditation where it's like I'm falling asleep, waking up. The fourth hindrance is restlessness and worry. You're worried about something coming up, or you've got some restlessness of body and you need to itch, or there's a movement that needs to happen. And then the fifth one is doubt, or where you're self-critical and you have judgmental thoughts. This also take you away from your meditation. So all these are things that can come into play and disrupt your time on the cushion or standing, walking. So desire, I'm calling yes. Just for our hand, we got yes, and that's the thumb. And it's again music, food, house. So you're desiring something in sex. The antidotes are to recognize it. Desire is present, to acknowledge it, and to resist. Put a little resistance into it. And I see you, Mara, is one of the phrases that come into my mind. Mara was there when the Buddha was sitting under the tree, it said, and is a deity or almost like a. And there's a picture at Spirit Rock in the back of the meditation hall with the Buddha sitting so calmly, and Mara's up in the clouds trying to distract him with desire, with trying to get him to fight. So with also aversion, which is no. So yes, no, aversion, resistance, ill will, negative feelings, guilt. So recognize when aversion's there, acknowledge it, aversion is present, and direct loving kindness, maybe to that part or to that situation. And again, I see you, Mara, just I see you trying to distract me off of this meditation cushion. Sleepiness, I'm calling stop. So it's yes, no, stop. Stop is a dullness. It could be you're bored too. Semi-consciousness on the cushion. And the antidotes are recognizing it, acknowledging it. Seems to be for all of them, these two. And maybe doing a body scan, similar to what I did towards the end of our meditation, or just scanning, giving some energy to your body, counting your breath. Standing up is also an antidote for sleepiness. Opening your eyes just a little bit and staring at the ground in front of you. Not staring, but a light gaze is also a way to work with sleepiness. Restlessness and worry, yes, go. So yes, no, stop, go. This can look like anxiety, fidgeting, scratching, coughing, a monkey mind. Just a lot of activity going on up there, or there's worries. Antidotes are recognizing it. Be persistent. Keep with it. Send yourself some calm. Count your breath. And keep returning to your practice, to the anchor. Restlessness and worry. And finally, the fifth one is doubt. Maybe not, maybe so. So this is the self-critical, judgmental thoughts, lack of inspiration. Can I do this? It comes up a lot for me. So it's just looking at it, being aware, is present, naming it. Doubt is here. Maybe you can make a provisional commitment on it, like, oh, just for this 15 minutes that I'm going to meditate, I'm going to try it this way. So just making a small other commitment and sending some calm. Sort of a, I'm going to try it out sort of feeling. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try it out. In Spanish, si se puede, you can do this. So this is where we can use our hand for this. While you're meditating, you might want to check on the hindrances this way by just focusing on your hand. And the yes is the thumb, no is the first finger, stop is the middle finger, go the ring finger, and maybe not, maybe so is the pinky. And so the way that I use this is to be sitting there and checking for the hindrances. I can just somatically go through my hand and just check. Is it present? Is it there? And more than anything, to also notice when it's not there. And on the month-long that I did in February many years ago at Spirit Rock, I would put these all along. I take blue tape to every meditation retreat I go to because I find whatever I'm hearing, I like to put up on the wall. So this is what it looked like. In my room and now my office, where I have both the hindrance and the antidote on pieces of paper to just remind me, as I go through this practice of what I can do when these appear. And so just that's also a gift to you, is to use my slides that way if you'd like, put around your meditation spot or to have with you in terms of that. So there, that's my little presentation on the five. So you have the three, my three knots, and then the five hindrances. I've been noticing hindrances coming up off the cushion, just in my daily life, when things will come up, when I'm desiring something, and I can use these antidotes also just walking through the world. One for me is sugar is a hard one for me. And so I'm diabetic. I'm taking insulin. I shouldn't be eating sugar. And yet at this time of year in the holidays, sees candy boxes, cookies, all that stuff is around. And so I'm noticing when I walk by a table with sweets on it, that desire arises, and I name it, and more often than not, I'm letting it lay. And so it's just being aware of my mind and just seeing it. So these hindrances affect us in meditation, but also in life. So I wanted to share that with you. Are there any questions on that? Any thoughts on the hindrances practice before we finish? Just a grounding and settling before I send you on your way. Just deep wishes for you to, as this new year, Happy New Year. I didn't say it, but Happy New Year. As this new year, this new calendar, Gregorian calendar year starts. May you just be aware of these three knots of not permanent, not perfect, not personal. May that help ease you, and then knowing the knowledge of these hindrances of yes, no, stop, go, and doubt, maybe not, maybe so, and that they're present, and they're we've been working with them generationally, time for long periods of time, and so it's present, and there's antidotes. And then really, when you find yourself in the place where nothing's pulling at you, you're not pushing away from anything, you're not running, you're not stopping, you're not doubting, when you find yourself in that place, when you can see that none of that stuff's around, just note it. So our minds are wired to remember hard things and bad things and dangerous things, but not so much the gentle acknowledgement that that stuff's not there, that you're actually in a meditation without those things pulling at you and moving you. And what is it like to be sitting without those things arising? And just seeing, because we're hardwired, like I said, to remember negative things, and we're not so hardwired to remember neutral and positive. So just being aware when they occur and what it feels like and feeling it. Okay, we're just gonna take a maybe a 5 minute sit here, just or stand or laying down, a 5 minute silent practice. Feeling your connection to this earth below. Deep gratitude. Willing in me to call on the directions of north, south, east, and west. To call on our ancestors and our elements that surround us and hold us. And focusing on the anchor that could be your breath. the body or sounds. How can we be with things just as they are, this moment? How can we be gentler with ourselves and the journey that we're on? A loving awareness, a gentleness, noting where the mind goes, returning to our anchor. Practicing and allowing for some ease in our lives. Breathing in, breathing out. May the merit of our practice today, may the benefit of our practice, just go out in all directions, affecting all people that surround us, those that we know and that we don't know. May the merit of our practice touch all beings on this planet, the winged, the webbed, finned, feathered, ones walking on the land, crawling underneath it. All beings, the elements of fire, earth, water, air. May the merit just affect this whole planet, and all beings be happy, healthy, and strong. May all beings be safe and secure and live with ease, well-being, and joy. Deep gratitude for you and your presence here today, tonight, as I end this short practice with a bell.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.